أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala binasrihi al-Aziz, stated, with regards to the incidents relating to the Battle of Uhud, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gathered the wounded and the martyrs. The wounded were treated and arrangements were made to bury the martyrs. At that time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to know that the cruel disbelievers of Makkah had mutilated the bodies of some of the martyrs. And among those who were mutilated was his paternal uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was saddened upon witnessing this and stated that through their own actions, the disbelievers have made the act of revenge against them lawful, which we considered unlawful. However, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, received a revelation from Allah the Almighty that he should let the disbelievers do as they want, but that he should always hold fast to the mantle of mercy and justice. Thus, this is the teaching of Islam. In relation to the burial and funeral of Hazrat Hamza, it is mentioned that Hazrat Hamza was wrapped in one piece of cloth, and I have briefly mentioned this in the past as well. In fact, I have done so in detail. However, some details were left out. And it is said that when his head was covered, both of his feet would become uncovered, and when the cloth was pulled towards his feet, his face would become uncovered. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed for his face to be covered and to place harmal or iskhar grass over his feet. Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh, i.e. the nephew of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, were buried in the same grave. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, led the funeral prayer of Hazrat Hamza first. This is according to this particular narration. As far as the discussion of whether or not the funeral prayer of these martyrs was offered, I have already spoken on this in the previous sermon. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prohibited the Muslims from howling and shrieking over the deceased, and he did this in an extremely wise manner. It is mentioned in a narration, and it has been related by Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned from the Battle of Uhud, he heard that the wives of the Ansar were crying and wailing over their husbands. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that what is the matter? Is there no one to weep for Hamza? When the women of the Ansar came to know of this, they gathered to wail over the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza as well. Following this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, fell asleep. He was perhaps at a distance from them in the mosque, and when he woke up, the women were still wailing in the very same manner. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that will they continue crying over Hamza today, and will they not stop? Tell them to return. And following this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed them to return to their homes and not to wail or shriek over the death of anyone after that day. Hence, in this manner, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prohibited them from wailing over their dead and did away with any form of wailing and howling over the dead. Thus, in this manner and with great wisdom, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained very considerate of the sentiments of the wives of the Ansar. Instead of preventing them from mourning over the loss of their husbands and brothers, he mentioned Hazrat Hamza and stated that there was no one to weep for him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was extremely saddened to see the corpse of Hazrat Hamza being mutilated after his martyrdom. However, when he saw that the women of the Ansar were not stopping from wailing, and so, in order to bring this custom to an end, as this was one of their customs, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, presented his own example and instructed them to remain patient. It was such an instruction that was extremely effective. And as for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's grief from losing Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he continued to mention him till the end. In his eulogy upon the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza, Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik said that my eyes shed tears, and rightly so after the demise of Hamza. But what good will come from shrieking, crying and wailing over the loss of the Lion of God? That Lion of God was Hamza, and the morning he was martyred, the world spoke up that indeed this martyr was a valiant one. With regards to the burial of Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, reached his body, he was lying face down, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stood next to him and recited the following verse. That is, among the believers are men who have been true to the covenant they made with Allah. There are some of them who have fulfilled their vow, and some who still wait, and they have not changed their condition in the least. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, that is, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, bears witness that you will be the martyrs before Allah on the Day of Judgment. Then, whilst addressing the companions, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated, that visit him and send peace upon him. By the one in whose hand is my life, he shall respond to whoever sends peace upon him until the Day of Judgment. Hazrat Mus'ab's brother, Hazrat Abu Rum bin Umar, Hazrat Suwabit bin Saad, and Hazrat Amr bin Rabia lowered his body into his grave. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu states in the Life and Character of the Seal of the Prophets that one honorable man from among the martyrs of Uhud was Mus'ab bin Umar. He was the first muhajir who came to Medina as a missionary of Islam. In the era of the Jahiliyyah, among the young men of Mecca, Mus'ab was considered to be the most well-dressed and elegant, and he lived in great comfort and luxury. He further writes, after accepting Islam, his condition was transformed completely. In fact, there is a narration that on one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saw him dressed in a cloth which was covered with numerous patches. At this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was reminded of his earlier life and the eyes of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, began to glisten with tears. In other words, his eyes began to shed tears. When Mus'ab was martyred at Uhud, he did not even have enough cloth by which his body could be covered fully. If his feet were covered, his head would become exposed, and if his head was covered, then his feet would become bare. As such, according to the instruction of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his head was covered with cloth, and his feet were covered with grass. After the fighting ended on the day of the Battle of Uhud, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, recited a prayer. It is mentioned in relation to this that Hazrat Rifa' bin Rafi' Zuraqi narrated that after finishing from the burials of the companions, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, mounted his horse, and the Muslims were around him. The majority of them were injured, and most of the injured were from the Banu Salama and Banu Abd al-Ash'al tribes. There were also 14 women alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And when they reached the foot of Uhud, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that form your rows whilst I praise my Lord. And so they formed rows, and the women formed their rows behind them, upon which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said the following words. That is, O Allah, all praise is due to you. O Allah, none can stop what you grant, and nor grant what you stop. None can guide who you deem astray, nor lead astray who you guide. And none can give what you withhold, nor withhold that what you give. And none can bring near what you put far away, nor put far away that which you bring near. O Allah, grant us in abundance your blessings, mercy and favor and provisions. O Allah, we ask you for the lasting blessings which are neither changed nor removed. And O Allah, we ask you for blessings on the day of poverty, security on the day of fear, and contentment on the day of destitution. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of what you give us, and from the evil of that which you prohibit us from. O Allah, make faith beloved to us and adorn our hearts with it, and make us averse to disbelief, deviance and rebellion, and place us among the rightly guided. O Allah, cause us to die as Muslims, and raise us as Muslims, and join us with the righteous. In such a state, then neither are we humiliated, nor placed in a trial. O Allah, destroy the disbelievers who deny your messengers, and stop people from your path, and send upon them your chastisement and punishment. O Allah, Lord of Truth, destroy the disbelievers from among the people of the Book. This was the prayer the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, recited after gathering everyone. I had previously mentioned the role of the female companions during the Battle of Uhud as well, and I will mention some further details. During the Battle of Uhud, whereas the men etched their devotion into the annals of history, there the women also played a pivotal role in aiding the Muslim army alongside them. It is recorded regarding Hazrat Salama in a narration that she participated in the Battle of Uhud. Hazrat Muttalib bin Abdullah bin Hantab narrates that the day the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, departed for Uhud, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stopped at a place called Sheikhain in Medina during his journey and stayed there for the night. Here Hazrat Salama brought a small roasted meat, which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, ate from. Furthermore, she brought Nabith, which is a sweet drink, which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, drank from. The narrator says that I think that this was something similar to Harira. Hazrat Anas narrates that on the day of Uhud, I saw Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa and my mother Sulaim. They would fill the water skin with water and bring it, thereby giving water to those who were thirsty. It is mentioned in a narration in Bukhari that Hazrat Anas relates that on the day of Uhud, some people suffered defeat and became distanced from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in the battlefield, meaning they were pushed away. Then the narrator says that I saw Hazrat Aisha bint Abu Bakr and Hazrat Sulaim, and they had both firmly tied their clothes, and I could see their anklets, and they were both quickly carrying the water skins. Furthermore, there is another narration in which is stated that they both carried the water skins on their backs and brought them. They would then pour it so people could drink from it. In other words, they were giving water to the people. He then further states that then they would both return, fill it up again and bring it, and would again pour it for people to drink. Hazrat Sulaid, the mother of Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri, would also fill up small water skins from a great distance and would give water to the injured and thirsty who were on the other side of the battlefield. Hazrat Atiya also rendered the same service, but there were some other Muslim women who actually fought the enemy with spears and swords in their hands, side by side. One of them was Hazrat Amara, and as I have mentioned in previous sermons, that when she saw Ibn Qamiyah attack the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, she firmly stood her ground to fight this experienced Arab soldier without any kind of fear, and after attacking him multiple times, she forced him to retreat. Ibn Abi Shayba and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal narrate from Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud that on the day of Uhud, the women would stand behind the men and kill the injured disbelievers. Some female companions came to the field of Uhud after the battle. Thus, it is narrated that when the disbelievers left, the women came to the male companions. Among them was Hazrat Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. When she met the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, she tightly embraced him and began cleaning his wounds. Hazrat Ali would pour water using his shield, but a lot of blood was pouring out. Hazrat Fatima burned some reed and made ashes, and using them to fill the wounds until they sealed the wounds and the blood stopped flowing. In order to obtain news about the Battle of Uhud, Hazrat Aisha left her house along with the women of Medina. At that time, the verses regarding the veil had not been revealed. When Hazrat Aisha reached Harra, she met Hind bint Amr, who was the sister of Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr. At the time, Hazrat Hind was steering her camel, and on this camel was the body of her husband, Hazrat Amr bin Jamu, her son, Hazrat Khalad bin Amr, and her brother, Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr. All three bodies were on the camel. When Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha tried to get news of the battlefield, she asked her, "Do you have any news of the people? What was their condition when you left them?" Upon this, Hazrat Hind replied, "That the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is fine, and after him, all hardship is easy to bear." Now she is carrying the bodies of three close relatives, her husband, son, and brother. But upon being asked, she said that as long as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is fine, everything is fine. I will just go bury them. And as long as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is fine, it is not a big matter. Hazrat Ammara narrates that on the day of the Battle of Uhud, I left to see as to what the people were doing. I had a small water skin which I took with me to give water to the injured, until eventually I reached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. She states that at this time, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was between the companions, and the Muslims were in a commanding position. Then suddenly the Muslims were overpowered. I quickly reached the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and began fighting as I stood there. She says that I was using the sword to stop enemies from coming near the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Alongside this, I was shooting arrows to the extent that I myself also got injured. Another biographer has written that the woman who fought in the Battle of Uhud, and at the time the Muslims were overpowered, she bravely protected the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, by firing arrows, was in fact Hazrat Ammara, Nusayba Mazina. There is no mention of any other woman who took part in the Battle of Uhud, except for Hazrat Ammara. Indeed, some historians have mentioned that some Muslim women arrived when the idolaters had left the battlefield, and took part in helping the wounded and giving water. These women included Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. A narrator has mentioned in a hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari that I saw Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Sulaim, that both of them hurriedly carried water skins on their backs and poured water for the people. They would then go back to fill them up, and then return to give others water. Another author writes that when the battle intensified, some Muslim women began preparations to provide aid to the army. Among these women was Hazrat Ayman, the wet nurse of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And historians have mentioned that when a group of the defeated Muslim army wanted to enter Medina, they met Hazrat Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, who began to throw handfuls of dirt on their faces and rebuked them sternly. She then said to them to take their spindles, i.e. what women use to weave thread, and to hand over their swords to them. In other words, that they can take over the tasks of the women, as they were unable to fight. Subsequently, Hazrat Ayman rushed to the battlefield and began assisting the wounded. However, the battle around the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was ongoing, and in the time she was providing aid to others, she was hit by an arrow from the idolaters. In Al-Kamil Fit-Tariq, Ibn Athir writes that Hazrat Ayman was giving water to those injured in the army when Hibban bin Ariqa fired an arrow at her, owing to which she fell down and became partly exposed. Upon this, the enemy of God laughed hysterically, and this perturbed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, greatly. And so he handed Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas an arrow without a tip, and instructed him to fire it. Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu fired the arrow which struck Hibban in the chest. He fell flat on his back and became exposed. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, smiled. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then stated that Sa'd has avenged Umm Ayman. Another biographer has written that when the battle finished, some women from among the believers reached the battlefield. And this biographer further states that these eminent women reached the battlefield when the Muslims had started chasing after the idolaters, and at the time they could sense victory was imminent. In short, the Muslim women went to the battlefield at a time when, and these are all possibilities, because they were not officially part of the Muslim army. That is, number one, when news of the initial victory of the Muslims reached Medina, they may have come to Uhud after hearing this news. However, by the time they arrived, the situation of the battle had changed. For this reason, Muslim women also fought in the battlefield. Secondly, it is also possible that when the news of the martyrdom of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, reached them, these devotees became restless and set out for Uhud. And so they were part of the final stages of the battle. And during this time, on the one hand, they had put up a defensive barrier, and on the other hand, they were tending to the wounded. In any case, Allah knows best. Then, mentioning the incident of the Battle of Uhud, Hazrat Sa'd relates that on the day of Uhud, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made reference to both of his own parents, saying, may they be sacrificed for Hazrat Sa'd. Hazrat Sa'd relates that there was a man from among the idolaters who had caused trouble for the Muslims. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated to him, i.e. to Hazrat Sa'd, to shoot arrows, and may my parents be sacrificed for you. Hazrat Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I shot one arrow that did not have an arrowhead into his side of the idolater, as a result of which he died and he was left exposed from his lower region. And I saw that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, expressed happiness. In another narration, this incident has been recorded in the following manner, that this idolater, whose name is mentioned as Hibban in the books of history, shot an arrow that struck Hazrat Umm Ayman in the lower region of her body whilst she was occupied in providing water for the wounded. Upon this, Hibban began to laugh. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gave an arrow to Hazrat Sa'd, which struck the throat of Hibban. He fell backwards, leaving him exposed, as a result of which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, smiled. In reality, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's happiness and him smiling was as a result of the favour of Allah the Almighty, in that he had removed a dangerous enemy from his path with an arrow that did not even have an arrowhead. A straight piece of wood managed to kill him. One of the authors has written with regards to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's bravery and wisdom, and he writes that when the horse riders from among the Quraysh, who were under the command of Khalid bin Walid, martyred Abdullah bin Jubair and his comrades, who at the time were standing guard on top of the valley, and as a result of this, they came up upon the Muslim army from the rear. At the time, there were only 9 companions with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as the rest of the Muslim soldiers had gone deep into the battlefield in pursuit of the enemy. And so, as soon as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saw Khalid bin Walid and the Qurayshi horse riders, he immediately took a courageous decision. It would have been very easy for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to go towards a secure position, as the horse riders had not seen him yet. But in such a case, the Muslim army would have sustained a huge loss. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, could have protected himself, but whilst doing so, it would have harmed the Muslim army. Therefore, instead of fleeing from there, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, loudly raised a slogan so that the Muslim army would look back. But since the Muslim army was so far ahead, it was certain that the horse riders would also hear his voice. And so, in a time of such a great trial, the exemplary courage and bravery of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, manifested, because he decided to save the lives of his companions by risking his own life. And so the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, shouted that, O servants of Allah, look here. As his voice echoed across the entire battlefield, the companions learnt of the delicate situation as they were quite a distance away. However, a group of horse riders from the Quraysh surrounded the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and began to attack him. And the other horse riders also quickly began to encircle the Muslims. Then there is also mention of how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remained composed, even in a state of being wounded, and continued to guide and give strength to the companions. It is mentioned that Utbah bin Abi Waqqas, who was the brother of Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, hurled a stone towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which struck him in the face, and as a result, his lateral incisor tooth from the bottom and his bottom lip ripped. Allama Hajar al-Asqalani, a commentator of Bukhari, has written that a part of the tooth was chipped and did not come out from its root. In any case, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, made the following prayer against Utbah bin Abi Waqqas. That is, O Allah, end his life before the passing of a year, and do so whilst he is in a state of disbelief. And Allah the Almighty accepted the prayer of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he was killed by Hatib bin Abi Balda on the same day. Hazrat Hatib narrates that when he saw this despicable act of Utbah bin Abi Waqqas, he immediately asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, where Utbah was. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, pointed towards the direction he went towards, and he immediately went in pursuit of him. He finally got to him and attacked him with his sword and severed his head, which fell some distance away. He then took hold of his sword and horse and brought it before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Upon hearing this news, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, twice stated that Allah has become pleased with you. Allah has become pleased with you. Then during the Battle of Uhud, the husband of Hazrat Umara Nuseba radiallahu ta'ala anha, i.e. Hazrat Zayd bin Asim, and both her sons, Khubayb and Abdullah, partook in the battle. I have mentioned this incident before as well, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated with regards to all of them, that may Allah bestow his mercy upon your household, or according to another narration, he stated, may Allah bestow his blessings upon your household. Upon this, Hazrat Amara asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that please pray to Allah that he may grant us your closeness in paradise. Whilst offering the prayer, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, O Allah, grant them my companionship in paradise. Upon this, Hazrat Amara stated that she no longer was concerned of what would happen to her in this world. This was the great courage of these sincere female companions and their exemplary level of love and loyalty towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And they deemed this world to be nothing in comparison to seeking the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and to offer sacrifices for the sake of his faith. At times, women can become very worldly, but these women were ready to sacrifice the world for the sake of their faith. The rest of the accounts will be narrated in the future, inshallah. After the Friday prayers, there will be funeral prayers in absentia for some deceased members, and I will also mention some details about them. The first mention is of respected Ghassan Khalid al-Naqib Sahib. He was from Syria and recently passed away at the age of 78. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The deceased was a Musi and is survived by his wife, one son and one daughter. He did the Ba'th in the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV rahimahullah, and then through his preaching, his son also did the Ba'th. His wife and daughter have not done the Ba'th yet. His son, Hassamun Naqib Sahib, writes that my father was like my friend and companion. He was the one who showed me the path towards accepting the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. During the 1990s, my father was introduced to the Jamaat through the program Liqama al-Arab. And prior to this, my father's view about religion was that it was just about kind treatment towards others. However, when he saw the program Liqa Ma'al Arab, he stated that if there was a virtuous religious scholar, then it is this very person. In other words, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah. And he also stated that this is the true religion of Islam, which these people speak of. At the time, my father was 50 years of age, and he began to learn the Salat, as before this, he had never prayed. But thereafter, he observed his Salat with such regularity that I don't recall a time when he even missed the Tahajjud prayer. He further says that my father did the Bayt in 2003 and convinced me as well about 1 month later. This was during the final days of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah ta'ala's life. When my father learnt about the system of Al-Wasiyyah through Abdul Hay Bhatti Sahib, a missionary of the community, he immediately became a part of it. He was told at the time to first read the booklet Al-Wasiyyah, i.e. the will, and he replied that he would most certainly read it and try to understand it as well, but this would not impact his love for this scheme and his passion to join it. In fact, it would only further increase his conviction in this, as he was already convinced of its truth. He further says that when my father was introduced to the Jamaat, whatever literature he would receive, he would try to study it and then compose his own notes on the computer. He would often tell me that he prayed that Allah the Almighty would grant him long enough life so he would be able to read all the literature of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and his Khulafa and thus make up for whatever I have missed out in my earlier life, i.e. before being an Ahmadi. He also had great love for the Tafsir Kabir, a commentary of the Holy Quran by Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'alanu, and had read it several times. And whenever I needed some information on a topic, my father would extract all the details regarding that particular subject from the literature of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'alanu and the Khulafa. He also helped with the checking of the translation of the Friday sermon, which I deliver live from here. Similarly, he would spend hours working on any work that would be assigned to him for checking by the Arabic desk. I would sometimes tell him to take some rest, and he would say that he found comfort whilst engaged in the work of the Jamaat. Often, whilst checking the translation of the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and his Khulafa, he would become very emotional. He further writes that when he did the Bayt, he related an account of a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. He stated that he did the Bayt and returned to his village and knocked on every door and informed them of the advent of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. Thereafter, my father adopted the same practice, that even if he met someone for 5 minutes, he would inform them of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's advent. He would say that it was his duty to convey the glad tidings of the Promised Messiah's advent, and if one is able to understand this, then very well. But if they are not able to understand it, then at least he has sown the seed, and it is for God Almighty, who is the guide, to then enable it to grow. Wasim Muhammad Sahib from Syria writes about him that after the Friday prayer, the deceased would deliver a dars in a very captivating manner. From 2019 to 2022, he had the opportunity to serve as the secretary Ishaat. He had great passion to read the books of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and he would often write the meaning and explanation of the difficult words that would appear in the books of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He studied the translation of Tafsir Kabir by Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and took out stories of the prophets and compiled them in a concise book. And this book is available on the Arabic website of the Jamaat, and members of the Jamaat, especially children, are benefiting from it greatly. Abada Barbush Sahib, who is the editor of the At-Taqwa magazine, says that he possessed many great qualities. He had a bond of extraordinary love and loyalty with Khilafat. Despite his advanced age and having a job, the deceased would voluntarily offer his services for the At-Taqwa magazine, and whenever he was given a responsibility, he would consider it to be an honor. For 7 years, he helped us a great deal in typing and computerizing the old editions of At-Taqwa. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and mercy and elevate his station and accept his prayers for his children. The next mention is of Noshaba Mubarak, wife of Jaleez Ahmed, a missionary here in the Archives Department and Al-Hakam. His wife recently passed away whilst returning from Pakistan in an accident en route from Rabwa to Lahore, which resulted in her demise. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She is survived by her husband, her parents, four brothers and two sisters. Her wasiyat was being processed when she suddenly passed away. In any case, it is still in process and God willing, her wasiyat will be accepted. As such, she is a musia. Her husband, Jaleez Ahmed, writes that I am grateful to Allah the Almighty for granting me a wife who possessed many great qualities. She decided to marry a life devotee, i.e. Waqf-e Zindagi, and she always gave precedence to faith and never once did she demand anything from me. She was always a means of happiness for others. She served the community in various capacities and she helped as the Assistant Secretary Finance and Assistant Secretary Wasiyat. She worked with great effort and zeal. He says that she also helped me in my work and she never objected to my Jamaat work and never made any demands. In reality, she understood the true spirit of Waqf. Every Ramadan, she would complete at least 3 and sometimes 4 entire readings of the Holy Quran with translation. She had a deep-rooted respect and love for Khilafat. Her mother, Zaybun Nisa Sahiba, says that she was my youngest daughter and she loved everyone and was very sociable. She gave us all a great deal of love and was the wisest amongst all my children. She was regular in offering prayers and keeping fasts and would remain at the forefront in doing Jamaat work. I was the Sadr Lajna in the Hafsabad village of Peer Court Sani and she would help me a great deal in my work. She helped me in Jamaat work after coming to Rabwa as well. Her brother, Kamran Shahid, says that the deceased was the great paternal granddaughter of Hazrat Mia Nizamuddin Bafanda Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. She was kind to both young and old and loved everyone. She had a great bond of sincerity and loyalty with Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty elevate her station and grant everyone patience, her parents, her husband, her brothers, and her sisters. The next mention is of Razia Sultana Sahib, wife of the late Abdul Hamid Khan Sahib of Rabwa. She was the mother of Abdul Qayyum Pasha Sahib, who is the national president and missionary in charge in Ivory Coast. She recently passed away at the age of 92. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, she was a Musia. Qayyum Pasha Sahib writes that she was the elder sister of the late respected Chaudhry Hamidullah Sahib, former Wakil-e-Allah Tehreek-e-Jadid. They accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1929. He writes that from the very outset she had a profound passion for studying Ruhani Khazain. As such, she studied the complete Ruhani Khazain multiple times throughout her life. And along with this, she studied Tafsir-e-Kabir and other literature of the Jamaat as well. She had the opportunity to serve as Sadr Lajna and Secretary Finance in her area of Darul Uloom Wasti. He further says that some of my relatives told my mother that she only had one son and since her husband had passed away, rather than sending me to Jamia to become a missionary who would only get enough of an allowance to get by, she should send me to some other field. Upon this, my mother replied that he will go to Jamia and as far as provisions are concerned, God Almighty is the provider and I trust him. He further says that as soon as my mother would receive her pension or received an income from any other source, she would immediately go to the Secretary of Finance's home and offer her contributions for wasiyat. There was never an instance where the Secretary of Finance had to come to our house to collect contributions. She is survived by one son and two daughters, and as I mentioned, that her son Abdul Qayyum Pasha is the missionary in charge in Ivory Coast. And due to being in the field of duty, he was unable to attend his mother's funeral. May Allah the Almighty grant him patience and forbearance, and may he elevate his mother's station. The next mention is of Bushra Begum Sahiba, wife of respected Dr. Muhammad Saleem Sahib of Lahore. She was the mother of Muhammad Naim Azhar Sahib, missionary in charge of Sierra Leone. She recently passed away at the age of 78. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, she was a Musia, and she is survived by 2 sons and 5 daughters. And due to being in the field of duty, her son Naim Azhar Sahib could not attend his mother's funeral or burial. Naim Azhar Sahib writes, "And my mother was not a born Ahmadi. However, we did have some Ahmadi relatives, and she had a longing to find the truth. And so she prayed a great deal to Allah, after which she found contentment in her heart, and ultimately she pledged allegiance at the hand of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu in 1964. And she loyally honored this bond throughout her life, and she was always prepared to offer any sacrifice for the sake of Ahmadiyyat. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, she was devoted to prayers and worship, and aside from offering the 5 daily prayers, she offered tahajjud, and she possessed great fortitude and was a courageous woman. She would endure difficulties in silence and never complained. She would always be at the forefront of participating in any financial appeal made by the Khalifa of the time. She would offer her financial contributions to the Jamaat at the first opportunity, and then would offer further contributions later. She would help every needy person as much as she could and never turned anyone away empty-handed. May Allah the Almighty grant her forgiveness and mercy and accept her prayers in favour of her children." The next mention is of respected Rashid Ahmed Chaudhry Sahib of Norway. He was the son of Chaudhry Ghulam Hussain Overseer Sahib, and he recently passed away at the age of 82. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He had been ill for some time, and he battled his illness with great strength, courage and patience. In 1926, his father, Chaudhry Ghulam Hussain Overseer Sahib, personally went to Qadian and had the honour of pledging allegiance at the hand of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then later devoted his life to the service of Islam Ahmadiyyat. He had the opportunity of serving as a Qazi in Darul Qaza Qadian and Rabwa. He also had the opportunity of serving in the construction and upkeep of various central buildings. Chaudhry Rashid Sahib also had many opportunities of serving alongside his father in the early days of Rabwa. During the eras of the second and third Khalifa, he did a great deal of work as an electrician for the Qasr-e Khilafat and other Jamaat buildings. He moved to Norway in 1970, where he was always at the forefront of serving the Jamaat, including his voluntary services in the building of Norway's first headquarters. He saved the Jamaat large amounts of money through his services. He served for a long time as the Secretary Amur-e-Amma for Jamaat Norway. His sons Muzaffar Chaudhry and Munawwar Chaudhry write that he had a deep and abounding love for Khilafat. He used to be responsible for all matters relating to the tours of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi Rahimahullah to Norway. Khalifa Rabi Rahimahullah used to refer to him as his guide in Norway and also mentioned his services in a Friday sermon. "Since I became the Khalifa, he displayed immense loyalty. We knew each other before as well. However, our connection grew even more afterwards. His father was very close to my father. And from our childhood, we observed Chaudhry Ghulam Hussain Sahib to always be smiling and possessing a very pleasant disposition." Chaudhry Rashid Sahib's demeanor greatly resembled that of his father. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and mercy. He was always prepared to show compassion to humanity, irrespective of religion or background. He is survived by his wife, 2 sons and 4 daughters. And respected Enamul Haq Kausar Sahib, National President and Missionary in Charge of the Australia Jamaat, was his brother-in-law. May Allah the Almighty grant everyone patience and forbearance. And as I mentioned earlier, that I will lead these funeral prayers after the Friday prayer.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inu ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله